Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Those highlights are courtesy NBC Sports Chicago. And that's Jeremy Colliton after the game as the Hawks dropped the first of this series, this seven-game series against the Las Vegas Golden Knights by a score of 4-1. It's Matt Spiegel in for Dan Bernstein right here on 670 The Score, and pleased now to welcome to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, is Kevin Weeks. Kevin Weeks, the NHL Network analyst. You see him on NHL Tonight, their wall-to-wall coverage on NHL Network all throughout the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin Weeks with an E between the K and the S. Kevin, good morning and welcome on to The Score in Chicago. How you doing?
Good morning, Chicago. Everything is great. No complaints. Yeah, everybody's healthy here in Jersey at home in New York City. And our family back in Toronto and Calgary are doing well, too. So hope the same for all the listeners that are tuned in and all the great Hawks fans. Hope everybody's doing well in Chicago right now.
Hey, Kevin, thank you. Yeah, that's the main priority, that's for sure. And we are pleased to have three active teams. You know, who needs the Bulls when you've got the Cubs and the White Sox playing very well? And then the Blackhawks. What a joy it was to watch them get past Edmonton and get this opportunity for the young team. It seems, though, right now they're up against a team that frankly reminds a lot of us of what the Hawks looked like during some of their cup runs. Supremely skilled on the top line are the Las Vegas Golden Knights, but boy, they are deep and they are fast with two goaltender options they feel pretty good about. They just seem pretty much state-of-the-art right now, at least in the Western Conference. How good are the Knights, and do they remind you at all of the Cups, the Blackhawks a few years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I love the Knights. I got to be honest. Ever since they came into the league, I had a chance to speak to their owner, Bill Foley, their majority owner, during the expansion draft. We were live on the air with the NHL Network for the expansion draft, and everything he told me and their former coach, Gerard Gallant, told me about how they were going to play, what they were going to look like, the way they were going to operate as a franchise, all of those things have been in place. And, you know, obviously that coincided with them going to the Stanley Cup Final in their inaugural season, and they haven't looked back. Stylistically, in a lot of ways, they do remind me of the Hawks when the Hawks were going and when the Hawks were at their height winning those three Stanley Cups. And I say that because their ability to skate and make plays and move the puck. I think that this Vegas Golden Knights team is deeper than their inaugural year team that went to the Stanley Cup Final. I think they're deeper. But to kind of pivot that, I still think that this has the chance to be a closer series than people recognize. As I said, I thought the Hawks would beat Edmonton. I said that on our air, and they did that. And I feel like the Hawks, quite frankly, you know, with their rebuild, they're the youngest team in the league. And yet still, they've punched their ticket to the Stanley Cup playoffs. And when you have the superstars, superheroes, as I call them, and the great Patrick Kane, the great Jonathan Tate, Duncan Keith still playing at a high level, Corey Crawford in the net. Anytime you have those guys, you still have a chance. And, you know, Kubalik has been so great this year, scoring 30. He had that game in the qualifying series of 5 points, a record. So all things being equal, I think the Hawks can still make this a very close series.
Well, I would love to see that, Kevin. I'm not sure what the formula is, though. I mean, maybe it's are the Hawks better off facing Marc-Andre Fleury at this stage in his career than they are facing Robin Lehner, who obviously they know very well and just sent to Vegas in February? Like, do you want should Hawks fans dream of Lehner having a bad game or two and the Knights going to Fleury? Do the Hawks have a better shot if that's the case?
I'm not necessarily sure. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury is a future Hall of Fame lock. He still has game. I'd say that they chose Robin Lehner because Lehner played better down the stretch, so they started with him in the playoffs. you know, ironically, too, for you Hawks fans, Leonard, I think, was really good in Chicago, too, this year. But yep. let's keep that in mind. At the start of the year, the Hawks were giving up 40 shots a game like candy, and Robin Leonard was money for you guys there. And it really allowed Corey Crawford the time to get healthy and to not only get healthy but get back on the ice and in the net and rediscover his form. So I thought that was a smart signing originally by Stan. And, you know, obviously you traded him thinking that you guys were out of it. And then you guys made a push based on your team. So would you be better off facing Marc-Andre Fleury? I don't know. I can't necessarily pinpoint that per se, but here's what I do know for the Hawks. I feel like they left a lot of shots on the table last night. They only got 20 shots. And I felt like offensively, as that series went on against Edmonton, the Hawks were more assertive offensively. And what do I mean by that? They were shooting from angles. They had more traffic in front of Koskinen and or Mike Smith. They were getting to the net more. They didn't leave any shots on the table. I felt last night in game one, that'll be an adjustment that they can make for game two, is to take more shots and in shooting more pucks, get more traffic to the net and create a little bit more chaos in front of Robin Leonard, because he is a big goalie as well. And I thought they did a good job doing that in the first series against Edmonton. They'll need to revisit that and get that back in their game here in game two.
So Robin Leonard is 5-0 for the Knights. They love how he came into summer camp after the shutdown, ready to go, intense, on fire. His biggest battle last night was with a skate blade. Your former goalie,
yeah, exactly.
Kevin Weeks. I mean, my God, have you ever lost a skate blade like Robin Leonard did twice in the same night?
No, I was going to say it's crazy, but Robin Leonard wears those, as do a lot of players. He wears those quick release blades where the trainers don't have to take this to skate into the locker room and basically perform surgery to get to swap your blades. You literally hit a button at the back, and in hitting that button, you can swap out a blade instantaneously. So that's both a blessing and a curse for him last night. That was a curse. But I'll tell you one thing that's dangerous about that for, you know, the fellow goalie aficionados and your listeners that are tuned in, is what makes that dangerous is you lose that blade, you don't have contact with that skate, and that skate now, the blade's out. So basically, you're now on plastic. It's not the best idea to be on plastic on a hockey rink as opposed to being on the steel of the blade to dig into the ice. So fortunately for him, he wasn't injured, but that could have very well been an instance where he goes to push and, you know, heaven forbid, he tweaks a knee or a groin or a hamstring. So fortunately, he was able to come out of it unscathed.
Have you tell us about what you saw from Corey Crawford last night. It's been a really interesting ride, frankly, for Hawks fans who early on had to be convinced that Crawford was the man, and then he proved it, and then he got paid a lot, and then people have wondered whether he should be paid as much, but then he kind of keeps proving it when he's given a chance. And then the concussion problems and the lengthy delay. Like, we watch him very carefully to see if he is fully on point in terms of all of his instincts and his wherewithal, his mindfulness. It's such a challenge for a goalie to be on point and in the moment, just so solid all the time. What are you seeing right now from Corey Crawford in terms of his level of concentration and attentiveness?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've always been a big Corey Crawford backer. You think of what he's been able to accomplish. He was down in the minors in Norfolk for a long time, overripe, if you will. And, you know, as somebody that played in the minors myself and as a young goalie, I think that's critical to your development. And I played in the AHL and the old IHL. So I respect the path that he's taken to get to where he got to. And it wasn't handed to him. And he's had to prove a lot of people wrong internally and externally. And I credit him for that. And, you know, it's a guy that's won 2 Stanley Cups. The guys love playing in front of him. You know, anybody I talked to in that locker room over the years or currently has nothing but great things to say about, you know, playing in front of Crow, as they call him there. So, you know, even the fact now, guys, keep in mind, he just overcame COVID. Like,
yeah,
it's wild that he's even playing. He only had one practice before joining the team up in the bubble in Edmonton. Like, imagine being off that long and having a 4.5-month pause and then coming back and having COVID amidst the global COVID pandemic, and then coming back and playing in NHL Stanley Cup playoff action. It's wild. There's very few guys that I played with or that I played against as goalies that would be able to do that, honestly. Like, that's almost impossible. So the fact that he's done that is a testament to him. You know, he has had some of the injury troubles in the last several years with the concussions and things of that nature, so I understand the concern there. But anytime he's in the net, the Hawks have a chance to win. And, you know, he's been nothing but a great Blackhawk, to be honest. Like, he's won more playoff games than any Hawks goalie in Hawks history. And the Hawks certainly have a very rich history as one of the prestigious original six franchises. So I thought yesterday there are two of them that he should have had, specifically the one that went off his blocker and kind of ramped up. Mm-hmm. But all things being equal, you know, I look for him to be better. And quite frankly, I look for the whole team to be better because I don't feel like the team played well yesterday either. You know, I thought Brandon Saad had a tremendous game. You can make a case that he was the best Hawk on the ice, but aside from that, they didn't look like themselves overall in that game yesterday. They left a lot to be desired in that one. They certainly have more, and I'm sure Jeremy Colton and the staff and Taser and Kaner and those guys would say the same thing.
Yeah, it was fun to watch Saad last night. I mean, we've kind of always dreamed of Saad taking that Marian Hossa role alongside Taves there on the top line, just being big and strong and being a two-way guy. And he was, I mean, especially that play on the shorthand, the shorty was quite something. One more for you, for Kevin Weeks right here on 670 The Score. So maybe it ages me, but I see five overtimes, I think, of Pat LaFontaine. But hell, that was only four overtimes in 1987.
Yeah.
How five overtimes? What does that do psychologically if you're Columbus and you play that far and that long and lose it? What does that do to you in a series?
I love that you're hyped about it because I'm hyped about it too. You know what that does? That says, boys, we're Warriors. We're Warriors. Seth Jones played 65 plus minutes in that game, the most minutes played by any skater in an NHL game in history.
Wow.
Zach Werenski played 63 minutes in that game, his defense partner. I mean, your goalie in Corpusalo made 85 saves. 85. The NHL record is 92 saves in a game in the 1930s. I mean, so, and by the way, when I talk about shot attempts and I talked about the Hawks earlier, Tampa had 188 shot attempts in that game. It's like you could play NHL 2020 or whatever on Xbox or PS5, and you can't get that many shot attempts. Like, it's wild. I've never seen that. You could play bubble hockey, super checks, and not get that many. To do that, you can't even do that in street hockey. Like, honestly, I've never seen that before. So, you know what? That's
wow.
It's a testament to those two teams. It's as Coop said, Coach Cooper of Tampa, it's a shame somebody had to lose. And I said this on the NHL Network last night. The Tampa Bay Lightning won the game. Nobody lost the game. Like, that's one of the best games in the history of pro sports right there.
Wow. See, that's a great way to try and spin it psychologically. Hey, boys. We will fight. We will do anything we have to do. I know we lost, but 100%. Seth Jones played 65 minutes, and he's ready to go. We can do anything.
Totally. Did you see when they panned the bench after the game? Seth Jones was just like, yeah, I'm good. Like, he didn't even look fazed. And I talked to guys from both teams. I can't say who, but I talked to guys from both teams. They're like, Weeksy, that was freaking wild. Like, I was texting guys post-game from the set, and guys were in the locker room. So, you know what? That's what makes the Stanley Cup playoffs unlike anything else in professional sports. I've got a lot of friends in every sport and every league. I say this all the time. And you mentioned the Bulls earlier. Congrats to my man, Mark Eversley, from back home in Toronto, whose parents are also from Barbados. He is the new GM of the Chicago Bulls.
Wow.
But congrats to him. Yep. Congrats to him. So I've got friends in every league. But, hey, there's nothing. I'm watching a commercial right now on our NHL Network. There is nothing, and I say nothing, like the Stanley Cup playoffs in the NHL. Nothing.
Wow. So you never know when you're going to get Bulls information in this town. I got it from Kevin Weeks right here.
There you have it, man. Yep. From I got Mark Eversley. Make sure you treat him nicely. He's brilliant.
All right. Well, good. We're hoping that he and Arturis Karnišovas have full control of the organization. A fan can dream in this
Absolutely.
Town. And Kevin, thank you so much, man. This was really fun. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, man. Thanks so much for having me on. And also big thanks to all those Hawks fans that watch us on the NHL Network. We know there are a lot of you. So thanks so much for tuning in to watch us.
You got it. That's Kevin Weeks, at Kevin Weeks with an E between the K and the S on Twitter, and you can catch him over on NHL.com. And see, you never know. You never know. It reminds me, years ago, I remember listening to a White Sox game when Ed Farmer, rest in peace, Ed Farmer, what a wonderful guy. Ed Farmer was doing the game, and it was the middle of a Luis Valbuena at-bat in an Indians-White Sox game. And Ed Farmer, I always wish we could find this tape. I know Chris Tannehill has looked for it. But he said, hey, folks, I'll tell you what, you've heard some news, heard some rumblings that Phil Jackson might be coming back to the Bulls. That's not happening. And you can book it. Here's the 2-1 pitch to Valbuena. Like, you never know when you're going to get Bulls news in this town. It might be during a Luis Valbuena at bat, or it could be during a hit with Kevin Weeks from the NHL Network. It's Matt Spiegel in for Dan Bernstein right here on 670 The Score. When we come back, some of the coolest audio that I've heard in a ball game in a while. A nice long conversation between Len and JD and Ryan Dempster that Jay Zawoski has compressed down nicely for you that you need to hear, because it's some really cool baseball porn stuff, in my opinion. You'll hear that next in advance of Len Casper at 11 o'clock right here on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.